So when we speak of educating a child in mental development, three things which are necessary are the power of conceiving, the power of understanding, and the power to withdraw from the rush of emotions so that one can witness them. These three powers are extremely important in mental education. Now, every human being normally has got these three elements: the body, the vital, and the mental. But none of these is the soul. Although soul is present in all of them, because they are, soul is the stuff of everything, but soul is still different from all the three. Many people think that the mind is the soul. Just as many people think that the vital prana is the soul, which it is not. Similarly, many people think that the mind is the soul, because mind seems to be uplifted and high and can move about in imagination. It looks as if it is ethereal, something corresponding to our concept of something that is superior and high. Now, it is true that mind is certainly superior to many things in our consciousness, but there is still something deeper than mind, and that is the soul. In Sanskrit, it is called antaratman. Now, how to distinguish between mind and the soul? Just as we distinguish between vital and the mind, we say that vital is a field of feelings, instincts, and so on, whereas the mind is a field of conception. How do we distinguish between mind and the soul? Now, since the soul is the stuff of everything, it will naturally have qualities which are presented in the body, life, and yet it will have some qualities which are distinctive. The soul, for example, has the kind of substantiality which even matter has got. It has feelings just as the vital has got. It has the knowledge just as the mind has got. Now, these three things are present in the soul, and yet it is something else. What is that something else? First, a spontaneous sweetness in the consciousness. Spontaneous sweetness, not dependent upon objects. In your presence, I may feel very sweet because of your presence. I may say you are very sweet. So I understand what is sweetness of relationship. But when the same sweetness or even greater sweetness is experienced without dependence upon any object, that is a sign of the soul. You might say that soul, Kathopanishad, it is described as madhvadaha. Madhu means honey. Adaha means eater. The soul is described as the eater of honey, the internal honey. It's like a sponge which constantly oozes out honey, as it were, spontaneously. Now, each one of us has got it. Just as mind, each one of us has got, only it needs to be trained and so on. Similarly, each one of us has got this basic stuff in us. It is full of sweetness, inherent sweetness. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to be in contact with some objects in the world to experience it. If you can really touch it, you will automatically find sweetness in it, and you will be filled with sweetness automatically. That is the first characteristic of the soul. Inherent sweetness of consciousness. Inherent. Not merely sweetness coming from outside, but which is inherent. It is inborn. Just as the capacity of thinking is inborn in the mind, Similarly, the capacity of experiencing sweetness, independent of any object in the world, internally, is the speciality of the soul. The second characteristic of the soul is that it has an automatic knowledge of the truth. If it is alive, if it is brought into the real play, you put the soul in the presence of so many facts, so many people, it will automatically turn to the truthful man, truthful woman, truthful child, truthful, automatically. Just as the sunflower turns automatically to the sun, similarly, soul is like a kind of a needle which automatically turns to all that is truth. It has inherent capacity. In the mind, truth is to be sought for. In the mind, there is a mixture of error. We start with ignorance, we start with a doubt, and gradually eliminate errors and arrive at some kind of truths. It's a big labor, and that too we are not sure whether it is really true or not. We simply say, I think it may be true, probably it is true, and to make it certain you require so much of evidence, then you can say, now I think it is really true. And even then a new evidence might break it. Who knows? Even if you have all the evidence and yet it may not be true. We see in the judgments of the courts how very often with all the evidence which is brought, even clinching evidence, a wrong judgment is given. So mind is a seeker of truths. It may arrive at the truths, but it is never certain about. The soul, on the contrary, is automatically sure of what is. Therefore, if the soul consciousness is really discovered, and that is the problem which you shall come to, how to discover and all that. But if the soul consciousness is touched, it can automatically find out what is true and what is false. Therefore, he is compared with the swan. It is said that swan has the capacity of separating milk from the water. So that if milk and water are given to the swan, it will drink only the milk and leave out the water. It is so said, even legendarily. It may be true, may not be true, but it, as a comparison, it is a true comparison. That if you cook up something and give before the soul a cooked up story, the soul will automatically say, this much is true, this is false. It won't look for evidence. It has inherent capacity of distinguishing between truth and falsehood. Similarly, it has another capacity of distinguishing between good and evil. Not only what is truth and false, but even good and evil. Who is noble, who is not noble? Whether somebody is truly sacrificing or not, or only making a pretense of sacrifice, the soul can distinguish and can handle. Similarly, the soul has a real eyesight for beauty. Even in the ugly thing, it will find out what is the beauty. That is why when the mother has a real love for the child, the mother finds her child to be always beautiful because of this reason. That she finds out what is the beauty in the child. Because real motherhood is very near to the soul. All mothers in the world, in their real experience of motherhood, they are very near their soul. That is why motherhood is such an important thing in life, which fathers cannot experience, but mothers feel this very deeply. So sweetness is the first recognition of the soul, then the capacity of distinguishing truth from falsehood, capacity to distinguish good and evil, and the capacity to distinguish beauty and beautiful and ugly. Now there is a third element in the soul. It has an inherent knowledge of what is the purpose of the life in which it is involved now. What is the direction that this life must take? This is the question which everyone asks and for which you don't have ready answers. What is the purpose of my life? What am I here to do? I should be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or a coolie or a scribe or what? How do I know? What am I to do? If you give a chance to the soul, then soul has an answer. In fact, this is the one question which you can find in no book and which you can find only in the soul. What am I to do in life? There is no book in which an answer to this question can be heard. Because no book is written for you singly. Books can give you general guidance. But what is your specific work? That is to be found only in your soul and nowhere else. And that is why, if you really want to know what is my aim of life, it can be done only by going to the soul. So this is the fourth important element in the soul. The knowledge of the aim of life of this particular, of this individual, of your own individuality.